subject of the guardian of the heart. The guardian of the heart. In Philippians 4, in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The word "keep" there in verse 7 is in reference to a guardian. A guardian. It used to be prison officers in the Bible were called guards or keepers. Acts 16, the keeper of the prison. The keeper, same word as the word "keep" here. It refers to marching around something and protecting something and guarding something. Some of you were military men like I was for a little while, and you had guard duty at times. I can remember times where I was guarding the ammo dump. And man, that was kind of, to think of all the ammo for the fort, and you're the only one walking around it all night. And that was some serious business. Man, you didn't want the wrong person to get in there, especially with a lot of the nutcases we have in this world these days. Who would love to get at an ammo dump. And you're walking around that thing all night long in circles, protecting all the ammunition on the fort. It's serious business. And that's the word "keep" here in verse 7. The keeper of the heart I want to speak about. Now, in verse number 6, and I want to define some terms here, and I hope this truth will help you as much as it's helped me. Because I love the degree of peace that I live with, and I know it could be greater, but I love living in peace and not worrying, not fretting, not losing sleep, not pulling my hair out, not chewing my fingernails or wondering what's going to happen next, and not walking through life in fear when you listen to the news or watch a news broadcast or look at the politics going on in Washington or Albany or wherever it was. I just love kind of walking in peace through this earth. And it's because of the practice that we are instructed to do here in verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing." Now today that would mean like, okay, I'm going to go walk out in front of this semi-truck that's coming down the road at 55 miles an hour, because the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." Well, no, we need to be careful people. We got to understand the meaning of the word has changed in the last 400 years. This word "careful" is from the root word "care," which means having a lot of cares. This is a word that refers to having anxieties, having worries and fears and fretting and so on and so forth. Paul is saying by the Holy Spirit here, don't have any anxiety about anything. Don't have any anxiety about anything. Don't worry about anything. In fact, I think it's from this text that somebody once came up with the saying, "Why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray?" And I think that's taught here in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, I don't know what your mind is like. We all are experts at hiding what really goes on in our minds from others. But if you're the type that's worrying all the time and news broadcasts and financial reports really, really rattle you, here is a text that we see tonight that'll help you. It'll change your life. And it'll make your life, the quality of your life in the spiritual realm, improve and increase. But we have to do what it says. And first of all, it says, do not worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But that's not all it says. There's a further command. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want you to notice here it says that we are supposed to pray, and notice the two words, about everything. I doubt whether there's many in this room that do that. We should. We should pray about everything. This is the clear instructions. Pray about everything. Verse 6, let your request be made known unto God. Tell God what your requests are. That's what he's telling us. Let me know what you want. And pray about everything. We need to pray about everything. And I want to encourage you to pray about everything as the Bible says, whatever it is, big or small. Too often we have relegated to prayer to big things, emergencies, right? When you hear about the little girl with leukemia, he's a boy. Okay, I'm sorry, I was saying he was a girl this morning. JC, right? Jace. I got that wrong too. Well, we're praying though. He didn't strike out on this. Jace is a little boy, 7 years old. Okay, you hear about a boy with 7 years old with leukemia, and it's bad. He's got to start chemotherapy. Boy, everybody says we got to pray for him. I hope you say that. Got to pray for him. But you know, we're supposed to pray about everything. We have relegated too often prayer to the status of a spare tire or a fire extinguisher. Items that are out of mind, out of sight. We don't even know where they are. That's why we got to plaster these big signs up that say fire extinguisher. Because we never even think about them until there's a fire. And then, man, you hope the thing works, don't you? Boy, I haven't tested this thing or looked at the gauge on it, but I hope this thing works right about now. Or the spare tire in our trunk. Man, I hope that thing has air in it, because I'm on the, you know, I-90 with a flat tire. And I hope there's air in my spare tire. We haven't looked at that thing in months or years, but man, we hope that works right about now. A lot of people have relegated prayer to the equivalent of a spare tire or a fire extinguisher. They don't pray about anything, but man, when there's an emergency, boy, do I hope this works. And God wants to be so much more intimate with us. He wants us to share with Him more things than we share with our husband or our wife. He wants us to pray about everything. One of the great texts in the book of Proverbs, and some of you know this by memory also, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." I know a pastor who lived in his own house, and the church was across town, and there was, you know, 1,000 ways that he could go to the church every day. And so he would always pray that the Holy Spirit would lead him in his driving from his house to the church, because he'd go different ways, different streets, and so on and so forth. And he said, "I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit would lead me to go a particular way, and somebody would be broken down with a flat tire, somebody would have run out of gas, or somebody I saw needed a ride or something, and how many opportunities that afforded for him to witness, share the gospel, pass out gospel tracts, because he prayed about something so simple as, Lord, what way do you want me to drive to work today? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And he had that habit about praying about everything. He honestly said that he used to pray every day he got up, "Lord, what tie do you want me to wear? What suit do you want me to wear today?" About those little things. Now, some of us would almost chuckle at such a relationship with God, but he didn't. He got to that place where he was so intimate with his Lord about his prayer life that he asked about everything, and everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication goes beyond prayer to the point of pleading or begging. Sometimes, you know, in the human realm, we can ask somebody to do that, and they'll kind of put us off or something, and not unkindly. But sometimes asking, which is what prayer is not enough. And we have to go to supplication. If I knew somebody, and I said, "Brother Sam, this dear lady's having a problem over here with her sink or something. Would you by any chance be able to go and take a look at it and see what's wrong?" And he began to reply to me and say, "Well, Pastor, man, I got to work all week, and I'm on call, and I got to do 50 hours, and so on and so forth." And then I said, "Sam, I really need your help here. This lady's in a bind. I don't know what to do for her. She's got a leaking faucet. There's water all over. It's wrecking her floors and some. Is there any way you can possibly find a way to get over to her house and help her? I've gone from prayer to supplication. And right about then, I've gotten his attention. And now he's thinking, I'm going to find a way to do this. And brethren, there's times where we have to go beyond prayer to supplication with our God. You know, and can you remember when you were a kid and you wanted something from your father? Hey, Dad, could I have a new bike? Right. You know, where am I going to get money for a new bike or something like that? And you just go on with your day, and then your son asks again, Dad, could I have a new bike? Dad, please, huh? Can I, please, Dad, can I have a new bike? I want a new bike. Well, you wouldn't even take care of it. No, I will, Dad. I'll take care of it, and I'll keep it dry. I'll keep it indoors, and I'll take care of it. Please, Dad, I got to have a new bike. The kid's gone from prayer to supplication. Now, what would have happened if he would have stopped after prayer? Probably wouldn't have gotten a bike. Dad would have forgotten about it. Dad would have thought, well, he only asked once. He must not really want it. But when he starts asking over and over and over and over and over and over again, all of a sudden, Dad really takes attention and says, he really wants this. There is such a thing as supplications in the Bible, pleading, begging. Please, God. Please, God, you got to do this. And God starts to hear his child, his son, his daughter down here on earth asking for something over and over and over and over again. And God begins to pay attention, and he begins to say, okay. But all this needs to be done with a boatload of thanksgiving. It says prayers and supplication, verse 6, with thanksgiving. And boy, that is often the missing ingredient. I think one of the things that Brother Scapp just blessed my heart one time, I was listening to him preach a sermon on prayer. And I never heard anyone say this before. I've never heard anyone since say this before. But he says, you know, if you pray for something, pray and 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 pray for something, and then God gives it to you, I want to encourage you then to thank him and 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 thank him for as long as you prayed for it. Wow. That's probably what it's talking about here, thanksgivings. Prayer, supplication with thanksgivings. Where you thank the Lord and, oh, Lord, thank you. And you don't. Sometimes we ask for something, don't we? We say, thank you, Lord, one time, and now let's see what's next on my list. And boy, I think we just need to have gratitude, and we need to remind God oftentimes for years, thanking him for what he did. More than just our salvation, too, but that's a good start. I hope you've thanked the Lord recently for saving you. And even though for me it was 42 years ago, I still thank him for saving me. Thanked him today. Thank you, Lord. What would I be without Christ? Thank you for saving me. Most people aren't saved. Most people have never heard the gospel. Some people are born in countries where there's hardly any gospel witness, or the gospel witness that is there, like we heard last Sunday night, is so suppressed by the government, by the devil. Who knows if it'll ever get to him in time. But we come to a church, we hear the gospel every time the doors are open. Oh, we got to thank the Lord over and over and over for so many things, answers to prayer and so on. The Bible says if we can develop such a life where we don't worry about anything, but we pray about everything, and sometimes we have supplications and we just have such a overwhelming spirit of gratitude, and we let our requests be made known unto God, what a promise then follows this practice. We need to let our requests made known to God. Don't be afraid to tell God and ask God what you want. Brethren, I got a little note in my Bible. Pray for yourself right after that. And now, that's not how we start praying. Our Lord taught us in the model prayer, when you pray, you worship God first, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray for God's kingdom and God's will and his work, and that's where we pray for the church and the missionaries and the lost and the sick and everything else, and we pray for others completely. But then it says, give us this day our daily bread. We pray for our needs. You got to pray for yourself. And some people make the mistake of not praying for themselves. And some people have emotional problems, mental problems, and health problems. And a lot of times they simply have not because they ask not. And some people can't find jobs, or they never have enough money, and so on and so forth, because they never ask God. You got to pray for yourself, because there's probably very few people who are praying for you. And if you don't pray for your health self, who's gonna? I was talking to Elizabeth, wherever she is, about the mission field, and I said, you know, now ladies have a lot of trouble on the mission field because we're so often praying for the missionary, we forgot to pray for the missionary's wife. So you got to pray for yourself. I always pray for the missionary wives that God would be with their spirit. Lord Jesus, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, Paul prayed. That's a small s. It refers to the emotions of a person, the inner man, the spirit man. And I pray a lot for ladies on the mission field. Lord, be with their spirit. Help them emotionally. They don't have the support group that the ladies in America have when they come to church every night. You know, and there's a couple dozen other ladies they can relate to and talk to. They don't have that. And we need to pray. But you need to pray for yourself. Pray for your emotions. If you're having problems in the emotional realm and in your mental realm, your health realm, or whatever it is, pray about everything. I mean, get down and even get intimate with God about realms I haven't even mentioned. If you're having problems in those areas, see what God will do for you. I just try to divide everything up into three categories. It makes it easy for me. You got the physical realm, the material realm, and the spiritual realm that I live in. Material realm is all the things I might need to pay the bills or fix the house or fix the car or whatever it is. I need a new refrigerator, a thing died or whatever. All the material needs. Physical realm is my body. Everything about my body you want to pray about. And go to the great physician first, amen, before you go to the medicine cabinet, before you run off to the doctor. Boy, there's a story in the Bible. God dealt with a guy named Asa because he went to the physicians before he went to the Lord. It's in the Bible. I'm not talking about if you're out on the highway because you just had a 55-mile-an-hour crash head-on and you're laying there bleeding. Don't say to the EMT, just wait, I got to pray some. I mean, let them scrape you off the ground and get you in the ambulance and go to the hospital. I'm not talking about that, but look, there's a lot of people, you know, they get a little sniffle or something like that, and they bolt to the doctor or something like that. You bypass the great physician. And I believe our God can keep us healthy. And we need to help him by eating better and stuff like that. I mean, exercising and sleeping enough, that kind of stuff. We know that. But we ought to pray about everything in the material realm, everything in the physical realm, and then everything in the spiritual realm. Whatever it is, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and this kind of builds on that. We talked about continuing in prayer, and this is kind of a supplemental message tonight to help us as we continue in prayer. But sometimes we got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, my prayer life stinks. God, help me. Lord, take away this self-confidence that I have, this pride that keeps me from prayer, and help me to understand I'm a needy man. And not only do I need prayer, but I need to pray for others. Man, I got so many prayer requests this morning, it wasn't funny. And they're serious stuff. People need prayer. Pray for yourself. Now, with that practice of prayer in verse 6, notice this, and there is a little bit of a formula right here. Prayer produces peace, which produces protection. Prayer produces peace, which produces protection. Prayer, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now again, this is a conditional promise. Verse 7 is conditional. Verse 7 means nothing to us unless we do verse 6. But if we do verse 6 and we come to where we pray to God about everything, notice the promise attached in verse 7. And here's where it gets into the realm where I just can't explain it. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is so deep, I don't know exactly how to explain it, although I'll try feebly. You got to ask yourself, first of all, how much peace do you have right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being pitiful and 10 being perfect, how much peace do you have right now without any pride getting in the way? How much peace do you have? Are you a man of peace? Are you a woman of peace? How much peace do you have in your life? Then another question we have to ask in verse 7 is, how much peace does God have? Did you ever think about that? It says, and the peace of God. Well, guess what? You and I can feebly try to explain that, but the rest of the verse tells us we can't know it. It says, the peace of God, what? Which passeth understanding. How much peace do you have? How much peace does God have? Do you ever think of that? And that's the kind of peace that he's going to protect your heart with. Not your peace, his peace. How much peace does God have? God is not worried. God is not losing sleep over anything that's going on. In fact, you don't even need to sleep. Amen. He's not cracking his knuckles and chewing his fingernails and pulling out his hair and shaking his head and holding his head in his hands and saying, I don't know what to do. He's not like that. The peace of God passeth understanding. Some of you have experienced the peace of God at least for some seasons in your life, and it's great. It is great when you get to where you don't worry about anything. And your heart is completely protected from the darts of trouble and negativity and worry and doubt and apprehension and anguish and fretting and concerns and uncertainty and doubt, those things. I mentioned this sometimes, and I don't even know if it's true anymore, but one time years ago, somebody made some study, phrenology, I guess is the study of the human mind. And they studied phrenology, and they said the average American spends about 80% of their thought life worrying about money or things about money. Wow. I guess I'm not an average American. I'm glad. I hardly give any thought to it. Jesus said, take no thought. Three times he said, take no thought in Matthew 6. In regards to money and the things of this world, that doesn't mean you be stupid or anything. No, you plan, you get your budget and you live within your budget and you're not covetous and you stay away from the stores and the malls and the things that are going to breed covetousness and make you want to buy things you don't need and you don't watch the shopping networks and those types of things and you just walk wisely. I mean, you do all you can humanly do. With your money, you pay your bills, on time, you give tithes, you give offerings to the Lord, and you trust Him by faith. But man, I tell you, one of the greatest liberties that you can ever enter into your life is freedom from money. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to work your way out of debt and to stay out of debt and just let your money work for you rather than you working for it. And some of you, everything about your life is about money. Just is. And I feel bad for you. There's such a better quality life. You can fly to heaven first class, you know. You don't have to ride second class worrying all the way. First class is when the peace of God, which passeth understanding, keeps your heart and minds from all these darts that are trying to hit your heart. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. And this text tells us how we can do that. You got to have a prayer life where you pray about everything. And then after you pray about it, you leave it in God's hands. And you don't take it back and walk around with it all day. You say, Lord, this is my need. I'm just going to put this in your hands. Go on with my day. And you leave it in God's hands. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep or protect or guard your heart. Now, if you don't pray, you can't have peace. And if you don't have peace, you can't have protection. But the protection is the peace of God that passes understanding, circles your heart, walks guard duty around your heart. Like I used to walk around the ammo depot or the general's quarters while he was sleeping. There'd be soldiers out there walking around that thing all night long because he was the main man. Didn't want anything to happen to his house. Wouldn't it be, can you imagine if the peace of God just kept walking guard around your heart? And here comes a dart of worry, and the peace of God deflects it. And here comes some anguish, and the peace of God deflects it. And here comes some apprehension, and the peace of God deflects it. And here comes a dart called doubt, and the peace of God deflects it. And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are all called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Not only guard your heart, but rule your heart. Something's ruling your heart. Something's ruling my heart. Pray for yourself. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your church. Pray for your nation. And then leave things with God. And that prayer will bring peace, and peace will bring protection to your heart. And the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That's what this Christian religion is about, is the heart. It's not about our outward appearance, trying to get a nice suit and tie on, nice haircut, King James Bible, and try to impress everybody so it looks like, wow, he's really got it all together. No, it's not so much the outward. God looks upon the heart. Man looks upon the outward, so we have to be careful about our testimony, but God looks upon the heart. And how is your heart? Man, a lot of people are having spiritual heart attacks, and as a result, they don't continue, they quit. That's it, I can't take anymore. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he went on to talk about heaven. And then he ended up that chapter in verse 27 of John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Notice that. He said, I'm going to give you peace. My peace, not the kind of peace the world gives you. I want to give you my peace. And then right after that he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. So if we can have Jesus give us his peace, our hearts won't be troubled. Won't be afraid. And boy, you'll be able to go to heaven first class. Amen. Well, here's my little diagram and then we'll close in prayer. There's your heart. If you can see it, the blue circle with the arrows, this is the peace of God. It's walking guard around your heart, and here comes all these darts at your heart. And we said doubt and fretting and anguish and anxiety and cares and worrying and all kinds of things. And they're trying to get your heart. Boy, if they can get your heart, you're dead. You're done. But you need to pray. But here's the thing. If you don't pray, verse 6, this is conditional. This whole chart's conditional. If you don't pray, you don't have the peace of God keeping your heart, guarding your heart. And if you don't have the peace of God guarding your heart, what's going to happen to your heart? Those darts are going to get your heart. They're going to get your heart. Prayer puts up that shield. Prayer about everything, not just in emergencies, puts up that shield around the heart and keeps the darts from hitting us. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Go through your Bible and just do a study on how many times peace in the heart are spoke of in union. And pray. Prayer equals peace. Equals protection. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this truth tonight. We learned a couple of weeks ago that we ought to continue in prayer. And we've learned one reason tonight why. Because it sure will make our whole existence much better. Lord, some people here worry too much. And they lose sleep. And they have anxieties and fears about their kids and fears about their grandkids and fears about money. And fears about the future and politics and wars and diseases and death and all kinds of things keep them from enjoying the abundant life that Christ said that he wanted us to enjoy. And Father, we have studied tonight a conditional promise. And Lord, might be some are here tonight and not praying at all. And we want to pray that it be repentance of a sin of omission. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And prayerlessness is a sin. And Father, I confess I need to pray more. Help us to pray, Lord, about every aspect of the ministry, the church, for the sick, for those with spiritual needs, especially for the unsaved. And also pray for ourselves. And in all our ways acknowledge you, and then we'll have a peace you give us that can't be described. It'll protect us. Lord, bless this message to our hearts. Help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.